We're doing Pirkei Avot. We're holding the third chapter, the 10th Mishnah.
Rabbi,
yes?
Quick question. It says that from Pesach until Rosh Hashanah, you should study a chapter of Pirkei Avot, but in Siddur, there are only like six chapters.
We review it over and over.
Oh, you just keep going.
Right.
So you're meant to review it like a certain amount of
times. Right. So we're quoting quotes from Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, the pious Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, who lived a pious and modest life. He was impoverished throughout his life. He had one carob between his front yard and he lived off of that. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, who was so careful in mitzvot that even his donkey wouldn't eat fruits that wasn't 100% kosher. He used to say, "Kol shiruach abriot nochai menu." Whoever people feel comfortable with, God is comfortable with him too, so to speak. Meaning if a person is loved below, our sages taught us, then you could know that he's loved above as well. We say that if people feel good about you, chances are in heaven they feel good about you as well. And anyone that people do not like, because he's not the way he should be to his fellow man, so even though he might seem very pious, he daven's early minyanim, he has long face and everything else. Bottom line, if people don't feel good about him, en ruach hamakom nochai menu, then the Spirit of God is not happy with him either. So our sages taught us, v'avtat Hashem Elokecha teaches us, sheyehei shem shemayim mitahev al yadecha. One of our responsibilities in this world is to make God's name loved by people through us. Each of us has to be a vehicle for making God's name loved in the world. Rabbi Dosa ben Arkina somer. Rabbi Dosa ben Arkina says, "Sheina sheshacharit, sleeping late in the morning, v'yan sheshetzoraim, and drinking wine at noon." So these are two times when a person could work. A person can be productive, but it's nice to sleep late. So you sleep, you miss reading Shema, you miss davening with the minyan, and then when you finally get up, so everyone knows by the time noontime comes, you have strength. That's it. No more excuses. You're not drowsy from the morning. You're not tired from the night yet. But you could sit down for a lunch and take a swig of beer and knock out your afternoon. So the most productive time person can have without excuses is the from noon onward. Meaning you should be productive in the morning. But let's say you slept late. So that's one bam. So now you're drinking at noon. So that we're going to see takes a person out of the world. V'sichat ha'iladim. And talking with kids where, yeah, it's good to talk a little bit with your kids, but the idea is you're just shooting the breeze for no point. V'yishivat batei knesiyot shel amei haaretz, and getting together in places of gathering of people who are not learned. Motzin ta'adam min ha'olam. These are things that take a person out of this world. Meaning they destroy a person's existence in this world. Now, this is a question of productivity. A person is supposed to constantly evolve and perform mitzvot. If a person is going to spend his time chatting with his 5-year-old son, he's not getting anywhere. You have to take time to educate him. You have to take time to learn with him. You have to take time to hear how his day was in school. You have to take time to be productive with him. And you have to take some time to be with him. Take him on trips. Take him on your shoulders. A certain amount you have to do. But here we're talking about a guy who comes home in the afternoon. He has 2 hours off now from work. So what's he going to do? He's going to sit down and talk to his son. So if you talk to him for 10 minutes, a half hour, whatever the kid needs for chinuch, that's what you should do. But if you're going to sit down just because you have nothing to do, so, okay, let me just sit down and talk to my kid, well, that's you're not being productive. A person sometimes needs to take a break. You need to take a break, go to places that are educated people. Go to the coffee room at the yeshiva. So you talk to people who are learned. They're also taking a break. Fine. Nothing wrong with that. But if you go to a pool hall, you go to a place where people gather who are not learned, so you're taking the time which, even if you need to take that time off, you're spending it in places where you're going to be pulled down instead of pulled up. So Chazal taught us, even in instances where a person has to take a break in a place that's going to be productive for you.
Right. But couldn't it be argued that any communication between the father and the son is the productive of the son? It develops in his character, his ability to communicate, his social skills, all these kind of things.
Could be.
They're not fully developed at the age of five.
Could be, but I could tell you a couple that once came to us. One of the spouse's parents was unemployed for 20 years. And that spouse's parent would come home every afternoon. He'd learn in the morning and come home in the afternoon and spend 2 hours just talking to the kids. What does a 12-year-old child see when the father comes home, has nothing to do, just shoots the breeze? and a five-year-old child is the same thing. There's a certain amount that a child needs. That's what he said. Then you're doing chinuch. But beyond that, if it's just because you're bored, well, if you're bored, be productive. You can't learn Torah now. So believe me, there are a lot of hungry people out there. Go help distribute food. There's a lot of chesed you could do. You don't have koch to do chesed, so you could be productive. Go online and post links to torahforme.org all over the internet. There's a lot of productive things you could do. A person can be productive and help the whole world. I'm serious. You post links to a good site. It could be simpletoremember.com. It could be aishatorah.com. It could be Machon Meir. It could be any positive site. You're bored. You want to sit and surf the internet. So go to Torah sites and put links to these sites. You'll help other people and you'll help the sites. You help everyone. There are a myriad of ways in which a person can be productive in his life. When a person comes home and he's just sitting down shooting the breeze with his kid because he's got nothing better to do with his time, he's harming himself. And to an extent, he's also harming the kid. Rabbi Elazar Modei Omer. Rabbi Elazar Modei said, Hamchalel Takodashim, he who desecrates the holy foods. So we know that there are sacrifices and there's a way a person has to behave with the sacrifices. They're holy and he cannot defile them. He cannot make them tamei. He cannot leave them beyond a set amount of time. They have to be consumed by a certain amount of time. So if a person does that, v'ambazet ha-mo'adot, and this is why I wanted us to learn this Mishnah before the break, he who desecrates Chol HaMoed, we're going to see that the conclusion of the Mishnah is, he has no portion in the world to come. So we're enumerating things that a person doesn't have a portion in the world to come. Chol HaMoed is a time, it is part of Moed, it is part of Yom Tov. We're supposed to use it in kind, we're supposed to use it in a holy fashion, we're supposed to learn Torah, perform mitzvot, we're supposed to do positive things. Go to the Kotel, and when you go to the Kotel, remember, take your loaf and esrog with you. The soldiers there very often are never offered a loaf and esrog. Very often I come to the Kotel, third day Chol Moed, fourth day Chol Moed, I offer a soldier my loaf and esrog, and I ask him, have you shaken yet this Yom Tov? And he says, no, it's the first time in my life. Or it's the first time this Yom Tov. And I cry. I say, how many thousands of Jews passed this soldier, and no one offered him his loaf and esrog? How could that be? So I tell him, make a shechiyonu. You know how many times I offered soldiers my loaf and esrog, and most of the times they make a shechiyonu. It's very sad. Come on, guys, you're going to the Kotel. Think of the guys there. So when we're on Chol HaMoed, we're supposed to use the Chol HaMoed positively. If one desecrates the Chol HaMoed, he's going to a rock concert, he's going around in his jeans, he's desecrating Chol HaMoed. We're supposed to dress nicely, dress like it's Yom Tov, it's Chol HaMoed. Hamalbin pnei chavero barabim, one who shames his friend in public. So our sages said that's like killing him, because when you shame a person, he turns red, and then when the blood drains from his face, he turns white, like a dead man. So the Mishnah is going to say he has no portion in the world to come. And one who annuls the covenant with Abraham, he does not have a kosher circumcision, and he doesn't correct the matter. And we mentioned this could be a person who had a bris milah by a non-Jewish doctor. This could be a person who had a circumcision before 8 days old. This could be a person who had a circumcision during nighttime. Any circumcision that you don't know that was a kosher circumcision, you have to verify. And if it wasn't kosher, so I told you, it's very easy to fix. It's a 1 second procedure. So I'm serious. It's a joke. But bottom line, the Mishnah says these are one of the things that a person doesn't have a portion in the world to come. And a person who reveals things in the Torah that are not like halacha. A person reads the Torah and he starts saying, maybe it means like this or it means like that. When a person gives explanations that are wrong and he's misguiding people, any one of these things, even though a person might have Torah and he's done good actions, he has no portion in the world to come unless he did tshuva for these things. So we just enumerated a person who desecrates the holy things, person who desecrates the Chol HaMoed, person who shames his friend publicly, person who annuls the covenant with Avram, annuls his bris milah, and a person who teaches Torah incorrectly. He derives things from the Torah without any tradition. He teaches things incorrectly, even though he has Torah and good deeds. If he doesn't do tshuva for these things, he does not have a portion in the world to come. So on the concept of deriving things shaloka alacha, we have a responsibility when we learn Torah to try and attain the truth. A person can say, look, I think it means like this, maybe it means like that, let me verify. But if a person comes and says, this is what it means, and he teaches it like this is what it means, and he doesn't bother verifying whether what he said is right or wrong, so then he's saying, he's deriving things not like halacha. When a person is learning, he can't know everything at first glance. You learn, you don't understand yet, so you learn some more. You say, maybe it means this, maybe it means that. Don't go teaching people things that you're not sure if they're right or wrong. Now, Yoav was chief general by David HaMelech. His Rebbe, when he was a child, his Rebbe told him, Timche es zachar amalek. You have a mitzvah to destroy the males of Amalek. The Pasuk says, Timche es zecher amalek. Yoav became chief general of Israel. All his life he kept learning it the way his Rebbe and Cheder taught him, Timche es zachar amalek. Destroy the males of Amalek. He goes to war and he kills all the males of Amalek. He comes back to David and David asks him, why'd you leave the women? The Torah says, wipe out any remembrance of Amalek. So he says, what it means? It says, Timche es zachar amalek. David says, no, it says, Timche es zecher amalek. Yoav took out a sword and went running after his Rebbe. He said, you mistaught me. You! Because you mistaught me, the whole Jewish people erred in this war. All his whole life he remained with the error from when his Rebbe taught him.
And he was
allowed to kill his Rebbe? So that's a good question. But the other question is, where was Yoav every time they read the Torah? Where was he every Shabbos at the Torah reading? Okay, that's a different question. Yeah?
I'm not sure I